TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand.
So I see an enormous amount of very positive things about our team.
Show of hands.
I don't know, show of hands. Show of hands.
It's Show of Hands.
Welcome into episode 3 of Show of Hands. In Manny Hill, I will never not laugh at that intro.
You know, there's another part of that whole David Kahn press conference that somebody asks him, because it's at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And somebody asks him, well, what's your relationship like with Kurt Rambis?
Yeah.
And Kahn just like, he starts to say something and then he pauses. So he just goes like, professional.
It's That's fantastic. Amazing. I can't think of another podcast that hasn't opened as remotely as funny as ours. I think that we are.
That's pretty good.
Our open for Show of Hands is absolutely top of the line. I cannot get enough of it. I laugh every time I hear it. It is phenomenal. So once again, welcome in episode number 3 of Show of Hands. I'm Danny Cunningham. That's Manny Hill. You've been hearing plenty of and will continue to hear plenty of. And on today's show, what I really wanted to dive in with, now we're the Wolves have been eliminated from the playoffs. So really this forward thinking podcast becomes even more forward thinking because now everyone's just doing forward thinking stuff. So we have to think even further in front if we want to continue just to be Show of Hands. I want to dive into the all NBA teams because Minnesota is the Karl-Anthony Towns, whether or not he makes it, is very impactful on their future. And there are a couple of other situations across the league that I want to dig into because there are a number of other guys in the NBA that are in a very similar position to Karl-Anthony Towns in terms of they can get more money this summer if they make an All-NBA team. Because if you make the All-NBA team either 2 of the previous 3 years before you're due for a contract extension, or the summer immediately before you sign that deal, you can make much more money. Carl is in that position with the extension that he signed. If he makes the All-NBA team this year, he makes more money. There are a few other guys that are like that. So, Manny, I asked you to put together your All-NBA teams. Mm-hmm. I want first, second, and third team. I'm really struggling with mine. Not necessarily at the top. I think the first team is pretty cut and dry.
Yeah.
There's one argument, I think, for first team All-NBA. I don't know that there's a wrong answer to it. The second team, there's discussion. And the third team, I'm kind of searching, especially at the guard position. I'm really searching there. But, Manny, let me hear who you have for your first team All-NBA.
I have Joel Embiid, Giannis, Paul George up front.
You don't want to say Antetokounmpo?
Antetokounmpo.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can say Giannis's last name. I'm just not great at spelling it, though.
Antetokounmpo.
Of course, the guy who was covering the Milwaukee Bucks for the last year.
Yeah, of course. It became second nature.
So I have Embiid, Giannis, Paul George, James Harden, and Steph Curry.
I have the same one. Okay. I had Nikola Jokic, and I changed it in the last 35 minutes.
Okay.
I think that Embiid's been unbelievable offensively, and he's a better defender than Jokic, too. And that's kind of, I think they're pretty even offensively. I did want to give the edge to Jokic here a little bit because of the success of the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah.
But I also think that Embiid's kind of been the one constant. I know he missed those 8 games with that knee injury, but he's kind of been the one constant on a Philadelphia roster. It's really had 3 different rosters throughout the year because we talk here about, how there have been many different Wolves teams this year because of injuries and trades and whatnot. Well, Philadelphia overturned the roster twice with trades, and that's a really hard thing to do. And he's kind of been the constant for that team. He's been awesome offensively, and defensively he's a monster too.
Yeah.
So I felt that he probably deserved the first team nod by the slimmest of margins over Nikola Jokic. Other than that, I don't think there's a ton of discussion here. Like, I think Giannis is an MVP favorite. Mm-hmm. I think Paul George was until that shoulder injury, but he's still been one of the 2 best forwards in the league.
Yep.
I think James Harden is the other MVP favorite. And if not for having Kevin Durant on his team, Steph Curry would probably win the MVP this year. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that there's necessarily a ton of discussion with the first team All-NBA outside of that center spot.
No, I agree. And I think when you have, I mean, for Joel Embiid, for me, the defensive aspect of it is what put him over Jokic for me. But we're almost splitting hairs with those 2 guys,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. How close do you think they are offensively? Now, granted, they do different things.
Yeah.
But
I mean, the playmaking that Jokic does, I think, gives him an edge over Embiid offensively because, I mean, you can just put the ball in his hands and something fantastic offensively is more than likely going to happen. But I think they're close because Embiid, I think you get the ball to him on the low block and he's as tough to guard as there is in that area in the league. I think the only thing that kind of sets him back from Jokic is that the three-point numbers have gone down pretty significantly
this year. He has had a couple big ones. Yeah. Like that one against Milwaukee, that was a dagger. That was a pretty big one for him, but I think he's shooting 29%. Maybe it's up over 30 now, but not great.
I think if he were up in the mid-30s there, then I would probably give him the edge over Jokic offensively. But
do you think Embiid's a future MVP? Could you see him winning an MVP award in his career?
Yes.
And what does he have to do to get there?
I think it would be a year where the Sixers are like a one seed in the Eastern Conference.
So like the Bucks this year?
Yeah.
Where they just flat out dominate?
Yeah, where they're like 59 or 60 win team, and he is what he is today, even better. And I mean that's the scary thing with him is that he's what, 24? I mean, he still has room to get even better than what he is right now.
He's really in his second and a half season.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, the year that Malcolm Brogdon won Rookie of the Year, Joel Embiid was by far the best rookie. He just only played 33 games or whatever it was.
Yep.
Last year was his first full year in the NBA. That's astounding to see just how good he is. I think that he can be scary good. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say that he will win an MVP like I have in the past with Luka Doncic, but I think that it's entirely possible. I think that this guy is that good.
I think there will be multiple years where he will be in the conversation.
Yeah. And if someone voted him top five this year, I wouldn't object. I would not object to him getting top five votes because I think after the initial three, it's pretty wide open for spots four and five on the ballot for MVP voters.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, who do you have on your second team since our first teams are the exact same?
Second team, I have Nikola Jokic, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Dame Lillard.
Okay, we've got one difference there. I've got Jokic, I've got KD, I have LeBron, I have Dame. And I haven't been able to decide on my second guard there.
This is where
it became really difficult for me because I think that the top three guards are locks. I think that the top four forwards are near locks. I could see LeBron getting bounced to the third team because of games played. But, man, this guard decision's tough. And you mentioned one of the guys I really wanted to dig into in Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
He's another one of those guys that's in the conversation with Kat where the money changes. And if you're the Washington Wizards, they don't want him to make the All-NBA team. They absolutely don't because they already have a Supermax guy and it's a bad contract.
Yeah.
And they're a team that's in the middle. Like, where are they realistically going? Even when they've had a healthy team, they've never been much better than what, a five seed, a four seed maybe was their best? Where's this team going? And they're going to be expensive as is.
Do you think they'll try and move Bradley Beal?
What would the right price be? And I would love to localize this and say, oh, Andrew Wiggins and a couple first-round draft picks for Bradley Beal, but that's never going to happen just because Wiggins isn't nearly valuable enough to pry a guy like Bradley Beal, who is an all-NBA caliber of player.
Yeah. Yeah, because the Wizards are in such a tough spot with the Wall contract, and you just don't know what John Wall is going to look like when he comes back from this Achilles thing. And I mean, it was, in some ways, it was kind of viewed as a bad contract before John Wall got hurt, just because he wasn't really playing as up to his normal
standards. And because of what they're going to be on the books for in 3-4 years when he's making $40 million a year as a 30-something-year-old guard that relies on athleticism and quickness.
Yeah, and then now you couple that with this injury, and we don't know what he's going to look like post-Achilles injuries because those things are always tricky.
I mean, who was the last guy that really came back from an Achilles, and you're like, he's the same guy as before?
I can't think of one. I mean, Kobe's was in his mid-30s, and he was already going downward.
Kobe wasn't that good when he tore his Achilles.
Right.
Like, he was past his prime when he tore his Achilles.
Yeah, he was already kind of going down. I mean, Boogie's been good for the Warriors, but he's not the same guy.
And there's still time on that. Like, it's you don't have to come back and be the same guy right away, but I'm just talking ever.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't, off the top of my head, I can't think of a guy that came back from an injury like that and was the same guy.
I think that's the one contract in the NBA worse than Andrew Wiggins' deal. I really do. I would want no part of having that contract on my books if I'm an NBA franchise. I don't care.
So now if you're the Wizards and you have Bradley Beal on for what, 2 more years?
I believe 1 year after this. I'm not positive
okay.
what his deal is, but I do know that I think he can be offered the extension this summer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's 1 more year after this.
Okay. So he's signed through next year.
Yes.
Next season. Okay. Yeah, I mean, the Wizards are in an interesting spot because you have the Wall contract, and you have to, if you're the Wizards, you have to decide which direction you want to go in, because you have this really bad contract on your books for what, 4 more years, 3 more, yeah. 4 more
and
years.
And Beal is 2 more years; he'll be a free agent summer 2021. So you're okay. You're right on that.
So so if you're the Wizards, you got to decide like which direction you want to go. Do you want to try and start this thing all over despite having this enormously bad contract, or do you want to continue to try and compete? And if you decide to go for the latter, it's like, what's your ceiling considering the contracts that you have?
Mm-hmm.
They're in a very, very tough spot, the Wizards are. So that's why I wonder, like, do they think about maybe moving Bradley Beal this summer?
Well, if Beal makes all NBA, he's eligible to sign a 4-year, $194 million deal.
Oof.
Extension. That's an extension. Once
okay.
his current contract ends.
Okay.
So at that point, he wouldn't be a free agent until 2025. And it would be 4 years, 194 on top of the 2 remaining years on his deal right now. If he doesn't make all NBA, he can sign a 3-year, $111 million deal. That's something he's not going to do that. Because by the time he does hit the open market, he'll get more than that. So this is a big vote for him. What led you to put him on your second team?
He's just been fantastic. I mean, the team itself has been terrible, but then he's in the same sort of conversation as Karl Anthony Towns with me. Like you mentioned, like his numbers have been so good, even though he's on a bad team, it's just really, really hard to ignore him.
Yeah, he's so good, man. Mm-hmm. I think he's averaging what, close to 30 points since John Wall got hurt. He's been fantastic for the Wizards. He's the only reason that they were really breathing in the playoff race until they lost their last four as we record this on Monday.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable, man. And it's unfortunate that, you know, that team is where they're at, and you get a situation like it's very similar to Cat. I mean, Cat's been phenomenal, and it's just the surrounding cast just hasn't been good enough for them to compete and win.
So here's my dilemma. Or actually, let's give me your third team All-NBA right now, because then I want to dive into my dilemma of not being able to decide who my guards are following Steph, Harden, and Lillard.
All right, my third team is Cat, Kawhi Leonard, Blake Griffin, Kyrie, and Russell Westbrook.
Okay. I've got Kat, Kawhi Leonard, and Blake on my third team, and here's where we'll talk Minnesota now. This would mean Kat gets the $190 million deal over the next 5 years.
Yep.
Do you think internally the Wolves want that?
I think that they would prefer not. But
I mean, the obvious answer is here, they would rather pay $190 million for Cat than to not have him at all. Like, duh.
Sure.
But their situation becomes much more complicated because, yes, Carl is absolutely worth every dollar of that. Probably more than that. I think a fun exercise, maybe not for right now, but a fun exercise would be, well, if there were no salary cap, what would he be worth? Like, that's one of my favorite games to think about. Like, let's say when LeBron goes back to Cleveland in 2014, when he did, and there's no salary cap and no contact structure, what kind of deal does he get from Dan Gilbert and the Cavs? Like, that's one of my favorite things to think about. Like, is it 10 years, $500 million?
Yeah.
Like, because we see these contracts in baseball that they take forever for teams to actually agree to them because they don't have structure or salary cap. But also, Mike Trout just got 12 years, $420 million. So I'm curious, what would you pay Carl if you didn't have a salary cap restricting you?
I would lock him up for 10 years, and I would give him, I would go 10 and about 350.
That's a lot of money.
I know it is.
I think 10 might be a little long for him.
Yeah.
Because he's a big guy. Big guys don't necessarily age well.
Sure. I feel like with his game, I feel like Cat's game, if he stays healthy, and that's That's a big part of it.
So are you saying he's got old man game, Manny? Is that what you're telling me?
I think the fact that he's a good 3-point shooter,
sure,
I think will really help his game age very well.
10 years might be a little long for me. I would be concerned about that.
Like seven or eight?
Yeah, I would do 7 or 8 years, but man, he'd be worth it.
Yeah.
He'd absolutely be worth it. And then having the Wiggins contract on the books really complicates things because now you have no financial flexibility. If he's going to make this all NBA team, let me ask you this. How close was Rudy Gobert? Because I assume Rudy Gobert was fourth.
Yeah. Definitely. He's the fourth center, yeah. Yes. And it's very, very close. It's very, very close. I think I get the argument for Rudy because, you know, Utah's a very good team. They're going to go to the playoffs, and, you know, he's phenomenal defensively and all of that. I just think Cat has been so good for really ever since Ryan Saunders took over in, you know, early January, mm-hmm. that it's really, really hard.
Yeah.
It's really, really hard to keep him off there.
I think he's been too good offensively.
Yeah.
He's been one of the most unstoppable players in the NBA at that end of the floor for me to say, you know what, I think Rudy Gobert's defensive ability is what puts him over the edge. Like, I can't in good faith do that. I think Carl's been the better basketball player because offense matters so much.
Yeah,
it does. He's a guy that he might be the best offensive center in the league. He might be. Now, Embiid is a far superior defender and very, very close offensively with Carl. And then Jokic is a far better playmaker.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, it's tough to find guys that do things better than him. I mean, he's fourth in the NBA in value over replacement player.
Yeah.
He's at 5.5 there. He's only behind Harden, Giannis, and Jokic.
I look at it like this. If, for me, and maybe I'm just biased because it's the Wolves and it's Cat.
Yeah, you homer.
But if somebody honestly came up to me and said, no, I think it's Rudy Gobert and I'll tell you why.
I'd listen.
You know what I mean? I'll totally listen to it. It's a hard thing to dismiss.
I have Carl as my third team center,
mm-hmm.
but I totally will listen to it. And yes, there's 9 games left, but now is the time to have these conversations because it's due at the end of the season. Now is absolutely the time to have this talk. How much of, and here's the craziest part, is the whole Anthony Davis situation, which we don't think about anymore, but Carl didn't really have much of a chance to be the third team center.
Right.
If not for the Anthony Davis situation playing out in New Orleans the way it has. That's interesting to me. Because what if Anthony Davis doesn't request the trade then? What if he waits until the summer? Because then Anthony Davis is probably 1, 2, or 3 for centers. I think that's a fair thing to say. I think he's a better center than Carl. I just don't think he's allowed to play this year, which is fascinating and odd and a different story for a different day. But do you think the Wolves kind of wish that would have waited, that Anthony Davis would have waited until the summer to request his trade?
I think if you're them and you know the ramifications of Cat making an all NBA team, I think they're very, very torn on it.
Yeah.
Because I think they, for organizational reasons, I think they would prefer he doesn't make it. But mm-hmm. I think because he's so highly valued that they want to root for him to have this sort of success. Because, I mean, it not only does it help Cat financially, but it puts the rest of the league on notice. Like, this guy is serious business. Like,
yeah.
it just highlights more of what Cat is able to do on a nightly basis.
Yeah, it's really impressive. All right, so my issues here. I've got 4 guards for 3 spots,
mm-hmm.
and I cannot figure out. I've got Steph, Harden, and Damian Lillard as locks of the guards.
Yep.
Which means I've got 3 spots for the guards left. Got Kyrie, Bradley Beal. Actually, I've got 5 guards. Kemba Walker, Russell Westbrook, and Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
In normal years, I think all 5 of those are putting up a very real case. And the Klay Thompson one might be the weakest case. He got off to a very slow start.
Mm-hmm.
But he's averaging almost a career high in points. He's shooting over 40% from 3. Like, he is putting up an all-NBA type season.
Yep.
But I don't know if it's enough. And then we talked about Bradley Beal with the contract. Russ is already on that Supermax deal, but he's averaging a triple-double. Again. He won the MVP 2 years ago because he averaged a triple-double. And for him to go from winning the MVP in 2017 to not being an all-NBA player with very similar stats 2 years later is kind of mind-blowing to me. Like, it's almost hard for me to keep him off because, like, yeah, you're not – no one does this. No one does this. And he's going to do it for his third year in a row, and it's kind of like an afterthought.
Would you argue that this is – of these last three seasons, that this is probably the best OKC team? Of these past three seasons?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Even better than when he won the MVP in 17?
Oh, by far the better team.
Yeah.
It's his worst performance, but it's the better team because Paul George is the best Paul George.
Right.
And obviously the year Russ won the MVP, they didn't have Paul George. But Paul George, pre-shoulder injury this year, was 2016 Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
They were a very, very similar player. He was and Paul George was probably defending at a higher level than that Kevin Durant was. That Durant was probably a little bit better of just a pure bucket getter.
Mm-hmm.
But PG was better defensively. That's why this is the best OKC team. Now, granted, they've slumped, and the month of March hasn't been kind to them. But
I was surprised to see them down in the eighth spot the other day.
But it's so bunched up in the West right now.
I think it was Jace. Jace tweeted out the standings, and I thought it was like a... I thought it was an error or something, or, you know, I was looking at something that wasn't real or something. It said OKC was the eighth seed. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, they're and like I looked five it up and ten I was since like, the break.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, yeah. They're the number eight seed. Wow.
Yeah, they're 5-10 since the break. They've not been really good. But it's hard for me to keep Russ off the All-NBA team.
I had trouble.
I think you can make a case more so it's harder to keep these guys off.
Yeah.
Like, you can find more reasons to put them on than keep them off. And that's why it's so difficult. I really want to put Kyrie on there because I think Kyrie's a top five offensive player in the league. He can just always find a way to get a bucket when he needs to. But Boston's been very underwhelming this year. Yeah. Boston's not the 65-win juggernaut that a lot of people expected them to be. I saw someone put a tweet out. That the Celtics need to win 24 of their final 8 games to hit the 67-win mark that Bill Simmons predicted. I laugh so hard at that.
That's fantastic. I love it.
But at what point do you think about team success when putting together one of these lists? Because, I mean, if it's by team success, a guy like Carl's not on there.
Right, yeah. That's why I struggled with – so my third team guards are Kyrie and Russ.
Mm-hmm.
I struggled with those two guys, at putting both of those two guys over Kemba.
Yeah. And here's the thing, too.
And Clay.
Kemba getting that Supermax, because he's another guy. If he makes All-NBA, he's in line for a more significant contract if he stays in Charlotte. Is that the difference between him staying in Charlotte and him bolting in free agency this summer? Because that's when it is. He's a free agent on April 10th if they don't make the playoffs, essentially.
Yeah, Kemba's such an interesting situation because he has said time and time again that he wants to stay in Charlotte. He wants to stay there. Yeah, it's just like you look at everything with that franchise over the last, you know, what, he got there in 2011. He's been there for 8 years, and they've just never been able to put together.
I mean,
they've been to the playoffs a couple of times, but they've never.
What were they,
never,
like a 7 seed and a 6 seed, I think?
Yeah.
I don't know if they've ever been
They've been to the playoffs a couple of times, but they've never been able to put together a team that could legitimately go on a run
and
make noise in the playoffs.
Kemba's contracts would be, if he makes All-NBA, 5 years, $220 million. If he doesn't, it's 5 years, $190 million.
Yeah.
If he wants to go to another team, it would be 4 years, $140 max. That's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the difference between $50 million is a huge difference to you and I, but it's also a year, which is matters.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be a lot easier for me, and I'm not speaking for Kemba. I don't know him. I could be way off here. It would be a lot easier for me to pass on that extra year and $50 million than it would to pass on that extra year and $80 million. Because that's what the difference is if he leaves. It could be up to $80 million. And if you're Charlotte, you feel great about that. But if he doesn't, then I think your chances of keeping him aren't nearly as high.
So you think him making that All-NBA team, if he makes it,
it could
influence his decision on
I'm not saying it will. I'm saying it could.
It could, yeah.
And I think that's understandable. Selfishly, yeah. I'd like to see him go somewhere else.
Yeah,
because
I would
too. Because I feel like that franchise is just, it's stuck in purgatory.
Yeah, and he's done such a great job of just getting better as a player.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was, you know, his first few years in the league, he was good, but he was, for the most part, pretty inefficient. Wasn't a great outside shooter, but he's gotten so much better over the last, you know, 3-4 years that I would love to see him get showcased in the playoffs more and have a legit chance at winning. Because that dude is, I mean, you go back to his UConn days, man, that kid's a winner, man.
Yeah.
He's a winner.
He absolutely is. Did you see the end of their game on Sunday against Toronto?
I did not.
Oh, you didn't see this?
I did. Well, I heard that, was it Jeremy Lamb or somebody that hit the deep shot to win?
It like beyond half court.
Okay.
You need to watch this. If you're listening to this and you have not seen that clip, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing, because it not only, I mean, a buzzer beater from half court's always cool, but it's one that essentially kept them alive in the playoff race. Like, if they make the playoffs, people are going to be able to point back to that shot, be like, they're in the playoffs because Jeremy Lamb buried a half court shot against Toronto on a Sunday in March to keep them alive. It's absolutely amazing. And then also the same thing could be said about Miami Heat and Dwayne Wade hitting that buzzer beater against the Warriors a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same type of thing.
I wonder if the Hornets make the playoffs will determine if Kyrie makes an All-NBA team or not. If that'll influence the voters at all.
You mean Kemba?
Or yeah, Kemba, sorry.
Which could be Kyrie too.
Yeah.
I mean, it could matter for if Kyrie makes one, but.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I'm very curious how much voters value team success, because it's a real thing, and I understand if you do value team success, and I don't know that I necessarily value it quite as much as other guys, but it's an interesting talking point.
Yeah.
All right, and then, like, I want to put Kyrie on there, but I don't know that I can, because Boston's been so underwhelming, and here's my question about them is, has this year changed your opinion on Brad Stevens as a coach?
A little bit.
Never been high on Brad Stevens. I never thought he was a bad coach, but I didn't think that he was this legendary coach that everyone wanted to anoint him as. Like, I didn't, like, everyone wanted to put him in the same conversation as, like, Greg Popovich and just all these guys that had won tons of titles. I'm like, he hasn't won a playoff series.
I was down on him a little bit a couple of years ago when they fell down to Chicago 0-2 in that first round.
They should have lost that series.
Yeah. I was down on them a little bit. And then they came back and won, and they went all the way to the conference finals, and I was like, okay.
Okay, yeah, they got to the conference finals, and they were losing a game at home by 50 points.
Yeah, exactly.
Like 5-0,
yeah.
50, half 100. They were losing by that much at home in a conference finals game.
And
I was like, this guy's not that good, guys.
And when I am going into this season, thinking about, okay, Gordon Hayward's going to be back. And, you know, there's a lot of talent on this team. There's a lot of depth that they have. But, you know, you're Brad Stevens, and you've got Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, who got a lot of heavy minutes in the playoffs for you as young players last year. And now you've got Gordon Hayward coming in off of this injury. And it's easy to kind of ease Gordon back in off a big injury like that. But eventually, you got to figure out what everybody's role is going to be.
Well, he's got to be better. He just hadn't been very good.
Yeah,
that's a big reason why. But I think Brad is terrific at getting the most out of guys getting guys to overachieve. And I don't think he's very good at handling stars. And that's the case, because he has not been a great coach for Kyrie. But Kyrie's still close to being an All-NBA player, man. I think I want to leave him off, because I think that what Bradley Beal has done, and I think that what Russell Westbrook has done, is more deserving, and Kemba Walker too. I just think that their seasons have been more special. And I don't know if that's wrong of me. And I think Russ is probably my last pick.
Yeah, I can't even argue against that, because you look at Boston and you look at the talent that they have. They should be better than this.
They should win 60 games.
Yeah. And they might not even get home court in the first round.
Nope. But you know what? I still might pick them to win the East. I still might pick them to win the Eastern
because
Conference.
Of the Kyrie postseason factor?
There is no player in the East I would want with the ball in his hands with under 30 seconds left trailing by one.
Yeah.
There might not be a player in the NBA in the playoffs that I want the ball in his hands more than Kyrie in that spot.
And it does feel like, even though they might not get home court in the first round, they do seem to have the makings of a team that could go and win a Game 7 on the road, at least in the Eastern Conference.
Well, they are the classic nobody believes in us. Mm-hmm. They love playing that card. You can't play that card when you win 60 games. You can't play that card when you're the one seed. You can't play that card when you're going up against LeBron. Or you can when you're going up against LeBron, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
But they can do that this year. And that's kind of why I believe in them, because Brad Stevens is good at that. He's good at getting his guys to believe.
I'd be interested to see how he handles their rotations once they get to the postseason, because teams typically, they shorten their rotations when you get to the playoffs. And, I mean, they've got depth and they've got quality players. It's just, I'd be curious to see who gets, you know, who starts, who gets X amount of minutes, who gets left out of the rotation, that sort of thing. It's going to be some tough decisions for Brad Stevens, I think.
All right, now I want to move on from the All-NBA stuff. And I think we touched on this a little bit last week, but the Wolves were formally eliminated from playoff contention, I believe, on Friday night when the Clippers beat the Cavs and OKC beat Toronto. So I want to know what you want to see the most of for these final 9 games that they have. Because I think now we're going to see a little bit more Kade Bates-Diop. We're going to see some Cam Reynolds. I think that we're going to not see guys get tryouts, but see guys get extended run that typically wouldn't. Is there something that you want to see?
I want to see Josh Okogie continue to play well. He's been the last show of hands I think we did last week. We were talking about how maybe he hit that rookie wall that, you know, he had not been really good in a couple of weeks.
It seems like he's gotten over it.
Yeah, it looks like the last couple of games he's actually played really well. Even the blowout loss to the Rockets, he actually played really well that game.
He had like 20 points.
Yeah, so, I mean, I want to see him continue to finish the season really strong. And, you know, and Tyus Jones has played really well, too. So those two guys, if there's things that I want to see continue, it's those two guys continuing to play well. Because I think in a perfect world, you're hoping those two guys are a big part of your future.
I want to see them evaluate Tyus, and I want to see less Jared Bayless.
Yeah.
Jared Bayless was really good for them at one point, but now, like, watching Jared Bayless, I can tell what his agenda is. And his agenda right now, when he's on the court, he is trying to play himself into a contract with someone else next year. And everyone I've talked to can see that.
Mm-hmm.
I've asked around about it. Other people can absolutely see Jared Bayless just trying to play his way into another contract. And I totally understand that, but that doesn't help the Wolves because that next contract is likely not going to be here.
No, it's not going to be here. Yeah. No, I for me, it's just, it's all about, they've got, what, 9 games left?
Correct.
It's all about the young guys for me.
Yeah.
I want the young guys getting a majority of the minutes. And you can sprinkle in the veteran guys at this point, you know, for depth purposes. But I want the big minutes and the big roles to go to Josh Okogie, Tyus Jones, Kata, that, you know, Dario Saric. Those, I want to see those guys get the heavy minutes and the heavy roles on the team for the last couple of weeks.
I want to see less Andrew Wiggins. Is that a bad thing to say? I want to see Andrew Wiggins play 25 minutes a game the rest of the way. I don't want to see him at 30. And you know what? Maybe I want to see him come off the bench a time or two.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see, because at this point, you have nothing to lose.
Well, of course, Andrew Wiggins would turn around and play well on Saturday against Memphis and help them win, right? When you're hoping for more ping pong balls.
That was a bad win. That was a bad win. And you know what? Let's do the Tankathon update right now. So they're currently sitting in 11th position. That win from Charlotte, the Jeremy Lamb buzzer beater last night, had more impact than just keeping Charlotte in the playoff race. It kept the Wolves in better lottery standings. Like, that was huge for the Wolves to see that shot go down. The Lakers are in 10th. They have a one game. The Wolves are trailing them by one game for 10th.
Okay.
LA sits at 32-41. Wolves are sitting at 33-40 on the season. So they've got a lot of must-lose games. And it's really comical to see the last 10 games of everyone the Wolves could catch, theoretically. Like, Dallas is 2-8 in their last 10. Washington's 3-7. The Pelicans are 2-8. The Lakers are 2-8. Like, all, you can tell all these teams are just not trying to win games. The Lakers won last night against the Kings. But you can just tell that, like, these guys don't have an interest in it.
You want to know what I love the most about Tankathon.com? Is
everything.
Yeah, it's fantastic. But I love how typically when you see a team, you know, you factor in a win, it's always, like, labeled in green. And a loss is labeled in red. I love that they have, you know, like they have Orlando here. Orlando's won four in a row. Uh-huh. They have won four in red instead of green.
Like
that's fantastic.
Like it's a bad thing.
Yes.
I do wish that for playoff teams it would flip.
Yeah.
Like I wish that below the lottery it was green for wins and red for losses. But I love that it's green for losses. Like the Knicks are 1-9 in their last 10, and that figure is bright green.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
It is absolutely
awesome. God, that's great.
So the Wolves, as things currently stand, they're in 11th. They have a 9.4% chance of picking in the top four and a 2.0% chance of going number one overall. My gut tells me this is where they're going to finish.
At 11, yeah.
It's hard for me to see the Lakers winning games because they are tanking so well.
Yeah, and you got 9 games left if you're the Wolves and you're 3 behind New Orleans for that important 9 spot. That's a tough hill to go down.
Yeah, I can't see them catching that spot. I really can't. But for my only sim today, the Wolves did not move up. The Knicks stayed in first, won the lottery. Bulls finished second, Phoenix third, Cavs fourth. So really no movement. This is the least amount of movement I've had on a sim so far.
All right, here I go with mine. Oh, the Wolves moved into the top three.
Where at?
They're at 3.
Number 3. So who would you take third overall, Manny Hill?
I would guess New York and Phoenix were ahead of them. So I would guess that would probably be Zion and then Ja Morant.
Yeah, I think Ja Morant and Phoenix would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I would probably go R.J. Barrett.
R.J. Barrett, I think so
too. Yeah.
Also, did you see the shot? Cam Reddish hit a pretty big shot yesterday.
Yeah.
And I understand people saying that there's some Andrew Wiggins in him, and I see it. But that was a big shot he hit.
Yeah, I tend to think I can see where there's some Andrew Wiggins comparisons. I want to think Cam Reddish will be better, though.
I mean, we all wanted to think Andrew Wiggins would be better, too, and here
we are. Yeah.
Talking about ways to get rid of him. So, I mean, yeah, he could be better. I want to think he'll be better, too. I mean, there are guys on two-way contracts that have been better this year.
I know.
Like, I hope he's better. He can't be much worse.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be I think if you're the Wolves, I feel like if you're going to go into the top four, like you would hope that you end up just like in the top three. Because then you have, I mean, because if you're in the top four and then you have to like, and Cam Reddish is like there.
I don't know that you take him.
Yeah.
You don't need two of those.
Right.
You don't need two of those guys. You've got one and he's expensive. You don't need another one.
Yeah.
But hey, he can't be worse. Can't be worse.
We hope.
Yeah, we hope. All right, that'll do it for us on Show of Hands today. Manny and I will be back tomorrow with Dane Moore for Raised by Wolves. Then we'll be back again later in the week. Things might be a little bit different. We won't be live on the radio on 1500 AM on Thursday because there's baseball happening. Minnesota Twins have their home opener Thursday against the Cleveland Indians. So we will be coming at you with baseball coverage on Thursday. So no live Raised by Wolves, but we will have a third episode at some time later in the week. Manny, thanks for doing this.
It's always fun.
All right. Talk to you next time.